Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 9, Text 26. Kvaham Raja Prabhava Isha Tamodikesmen. Kvaham Raja Prabhava Isha Tamodikesmen. Jata Suretara Kule Kva Tavanukampa. Jata Suretara Kule Kva Tavanukampa. Na Brahmano Natu Bhavasya Navai Ramaya. Na Brahmano Natu Bhavasya Navai Ramaya. Yan Mirpita Sirasi Padmakara Prahasta. Yan Mirpita Sarasi Padmakara Prasada. Vaham Raja Prabhava Isha Tamodikesmin. Jata Suretara Kule Kvat Tavanukampa. Na Brahmano Natu Bhavasya Navai Ramaya. Yan Mirpita Sirasi Padmakara Prasada. Others?
Where? Aham, I am. Raja Prabhava, being born in a body full of passion. Isha, O my Lord. Tamaha, the mode of ignorance. Adike, surpassing in. Asmin, in this. Jataha, born.
Sura itara kule. In a family of atheists or demons who are subordinate to the devotees. Kva, where. Tava, your. Anukampa, causeless mercy. Na, not. Brahmana, of Lord Brahma. Na, not. To, but. Bhavasya, of Lord Shiva. Na, nor. Vai, even. Ramaya, of the goddess of fortune. Yat, which. Me, of me. Arpita, offered. Sirasi, on the head. Padmakara, lotus hand. Basada, the symbol of mercy. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, O Supreme, because I was born in a family full of the hellish material qualities of passion and ignorance, what is my position? And what is to be said of your causeless mercy, which was never offered even to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi? You never put your lotus hand upon their heads, but you have put it upon mine. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj was surprised at the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead. For although Prahlad was born in a demoniac family, and although the Lord had never before placed his lotus hand on the head of Brahma, Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, his constant companion, Lord Nrisimhadev kindly placed his hand on the head of Prahlad. This is the meaning of causeless mercy. The causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead may be bestowed upon anyone, regardless of his position in this material world. Everyone is eligible to worship the Supreme Lord, irrespective of his material position. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, text 26. Mam chayovi abhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samati chaitam brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. End quote. Anyone who engages in continuous devotional service to the Lord is situated in the spiritual world and has nothing to do with the material qualities, sattva-gun, raja-gun, and tamagun. Because Prahlad Maharaj was situated on the spiritual platform, he had nothing to do with his material body, which had been born of the modes of passion and ignorance. The symptoms of passion and ignorance are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 2nd Chapter, Text 19, as lust and hankering. Tadarajas tamo bhava kama lobadayas chaye. Prahlad Maharaj, being a great devotee, thought the body born of his father to be born of passion and ignorance. But because Prahlad was fully engaged in the service of the Lord, his body did not belong to the material world. The pure Vaishnava's body is spiritualized even in this life. For example, when iron is put into a fire, it becomes red hot and is no longer iron but fire. Similarly, the so-called material bodies of devotees who fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord, being constantly in the fire of spiritual life, have nothing to do with matter, but are spiritualized. Srila Madhvacharya remarks that the goddess of fortune, the mother of the universe, could not get mercy similar to that which was offered to Prahlad Maharaj. For although the goddess of fortune is always a constant companion of the Supreme Lord, the Lord is more inclined to his devotees. In other words, devotional service is so great that when it is offered even by those born in low families, the Lord accepts it as being more valuable than the service offered by the goddess of fortune. Lord Brahma, King Indra, and other demigods living in the upper planetary systems are situated in a different spirit of consciousness, and therefore they are sometimes troubled by demons. But a devotee, even if situated in the lower planets, enjoys life in Krishna consciousness under any circumstances. Paratas vata karmata. As he acts himself, as he's instructed by others, or as he performs his material activities, he enjoys life in every respect. In this regard, Madhvacharya quotes the following verses, which are mentioned in the Brahma Tarka. Shri Brahma, Brahma Vinidradi, Tri Katat, Stri Purustuta, Taranye Cha Kramadeva, Sara Muktai Smritavapi, Hari Bhakto Cha Tajjane, Suke Cha Niyamena Tu, Paratas Swata Karmatava, Nikantanjit Taranyata. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastai Buddhalesi Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminitha Namane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Nivadi Pastajari Shatarani. So, this is Prahlad Maharaj speaking, of course, and he's expressing, he's marveling at how it is that despite the fact that he's born in this demoniac family, his father is the topmost demon, and has full of the qualities of, at least he's thinking of himself like that, is full of the qualities of passion, ignorance. And how is it that somebody like him, who he's thinking himself disqualified, could possibly get this causeless mercy of the Lord? He's feeling himself, I'm not even qualified to be engaged in devotional service. I'm not even qualified to be in your presence. I'm not qualified to be really approaching you in any way, but because of my disqualification of birth. But despite that fact, not only am I engaged here offering prayers to you, but you actually touched my head, and you didn't even do that to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, even Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, your constant companion. Never received that kind of mercy. So wow. So he's feeling himself. He's marveling, and he's feeling himself very fortunate that this has happened to him. And Srila Prabhupada makes the point here in his purport. He says, this is the meaning of causeless mercy. And then he goes and he elaborates. He says, the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead may be bestowed upon anyone, regardless of his position in the material world. So this is very good news. This is very good news. In other words, we can become as fortunate as Prahlad Maharaj. Prabhupada says that's the meaning of causeless mercy, that it may be bestowed upon anyone, regardless of his position in the material world. Somebody could be the most fallen of the fallen, and still, if they can receive the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord. And in the next sentence, Prabhupada goes on to explain how that's possible. He says, everyone is eligible to worship the Supreme Lord, irrespective of his material position. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, text 26, where he goes, one who engages in full devotional service. So this is the qualification. If somebody's willing to do this, one who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Anyone who engages in the continuous devotional service to the Lord is situated in the spiritual world and has nothing to do with the material qualities, sattva-gun, rajagun, tamagun. So in other words, a person from any position in life, from any situation, from the mode of ignorance, from the mode of passion, doesn't matter. If somebody comes and if they're ready, willing, and make an effort to engage in be fully engaged in devotional service, then Krishna will help that person. In the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tesham Satata Yuktanam, Bhajatam Pratipurvakam, Dadami Buddhyogam Tam, Yena Mam Upayanti Te. Those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the intelligence how they can come to me. Knows how to be engaged fully, favorably, in full devotional service. Krishna will give that person the intelligence how to do that. And then when that person goes ahead and does that, when they fully engage in the devotional service, then this is what happens. Sagunan samatichaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate, that person transcends the modes of material nature. So it doesn't matter whether their body was influenced by the modes of previously, influenced by the modes of passion or ignorance or whatever. At that point, when you engage in favorably in full devotional service to Krishna, as described here in this verse that Prabhupada quoted in his purport, then you transcend the three modes of material nature. And as Prabhupada goes on to say, about Prahlad Maharaj, he says he was situated on the spiritual platform. He had nothing to do with his body, which had been born of the modes of passion and ignorance. Same thing. Any one of us, anybody who does that, anybody who engages favorably in full devotional service, They'll transcend the three modes of material nature. They'll be situated on the spiritual platform. You have nothing to do with your body, which is, as it says, born may have been born in the modes of passion and ignorance. It says the symptoms of passion and ignorance are described in the Bhagavatam. Goes Prabhupada said that. It says, Prahlad, being a great devotee, thought the body born of his father to be born of passion and ignorance. But because Prahlad was fully engaged in the service of the Lord, his body did not belong to the material world. The pure Vaishnav's body is spiritualized even in this life. And yeah, so just, you know, when I read this, one thought that came to my mind, you know, how the Prabhupada says here that how Prahlad Maharaj had nothing to do with his body. It's kind of, you know, in Christianity they have that idea, born again. And I was just, it just popped in my head for some reason. This had to be what they were originally, you know, was referring to, because it wasn't just like a, you know, a stamp, you know, like a ritual that you just do something and then you're stamped, okay, you're born again. It's an experience. It's a transformation of your life. It's a transformation of your consciousness. In other words, when a devotee, and, you know, Amala Bhakti in his class a couple of days ago was pointing out that some of these really early day Christians were very sincere. You know, they had them out in the arena and they were feeding them to the lions, basically. And they were, you know, chanting hymns, glorifying God. They weren't afraid, and they just like that. So, you know, you can't do that if you're in the bodily concept of life. So the point is that this is explaining what, you know, the real position, that when somebody engages in full devotional service favorably to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they by Krishna's mercy, they transcend the three modes of material nature. They're born again. It's a spiritual awakening. You experience life in a different way. You're experiencing life as a pure devotee of Krishna. You're out of the bodily concept of life. So anyway, so Prabhupada goes on to say here that Prahlad Maharaji did not belong to the material world. Pure Vaishnava's body is spiritualized even in this life. And Prabhupada gives this example we've all heard many times, that when you put an iron into the fire, it becomes red hot and is no longer iron but fire. So similarly, the so-called material bodies of the devotees fully engaged in devotional service of the Lord, being constantly in the fire of spiritual life, have nothing to do with matter but is spiritualized. So when I read that, one thought that came to my mind when I was reading that was that, like for instance, right here in this community, quite possibly there's, you know, a good number of devotees that would fit that description, you know, who are in that category of fully engaged in devotional service to the Lord from the moment they wake up till the moment they take rest, and even, you know, taking rest is service, because you have to rest your body to be able to do it again the next day. So thought that came to my mind is, it's when you're living in the association of the devotees, in a community of devotees, Vaishnavas, who are fully engaged in devotional service, you've got to be very careful about avoiding the first offense, the blaspheme that the devotees who've dedicated their lives to propagating the holy names of the Lord. Because, you know, we're a preaching movement, so in one sense, everybody's preaching. Everybody's, you know, participating in the missionary activities here, you know, of the Krishna conscious movement. So anyway, we have to be very, very careful, because there's a lot of devotees who are fully engaged in devotional service. And, you know, we may be too, and that's very nice, but they are also. And we, you know, we have to be very careful to avoid offending, because, you know, there's the expression, familiarity breeds contempt. And, you know, sometimes you're living in a community, you tend to think, oh, that's just so-and-so, or oh, so-and-so, oh, that's something. But, you know, from Krishna's angle of vision, you know, from Krishna's perspective, no, these are very dear devotees. You know, he doesn't see the material idiosyncrasies or different, like, whatever of that particular. He sees the devotional service, you know, the sincere heart rendered devotional service of that person, and he's appreciating that. So, you know, we have to be very careful to not, to, in our dealings with other devotees. And, you know, if you feel yourself, if you feel your desire to be engaged in devotional service decreasing, or your desire to be living in the association of the devotees decreasing, what else? Well, basically those two things. You know, you're losing your taste for hearing and chanting, then those are some symptoms of reaction to committing offense. You know, that's it's a way in which you will experience, if you're making offenses, you'll lose that desire to surrender to Krishna, basically, to be with the in the association of devotees, to hear and chant and like that. So that's something we have to be very careful of. And then it goes on to say here, in the next paragraph here, the purport Prabhupada's mentioning here about Lakshmi, and he's glorifying the exalted position of devotees and the performance of devotional service. And he's making the point that Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, she's a constant companion of the Supreme Lord. But the Lord is more inclined to his devotees. And I read that. I found that interesting because I always thought of Lakshmi. I know she's a constant consort and she's an expansion of the Shakti Tattva. She's an expansion of the potency of Radharani. But I always thought of her as a devotee as well. You know, because like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita's, even Advaita Charya, who's Mahavishnu, is thinking himself as a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. But I guess technically they're not devotees. You know, they're a different tattva. So anyway, but here it's making that point that the devotee, Krishna is more pleased with the devotional service of a devotee, even somebody born in a low family, than he is with the service offered by the goddess of fortune. So like, wow. It really tells you something about the exalted position of devotional service, the potency of devotional service, that it's capable of pleasing Krishna, attracting Krishna even more than the service that's rendered to him by Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, his constant companion. And then it goes on to say, something that Lord Brahma and King Indra and other demigods living in the upper planetary systems are situated in a different spirit of consciousness, and therefore they are sometimes troubled by demons. But a devotee, even if situated in the lower planets, enjoys life in Krishna consciousness under any circumstances. So, how to understand that? Lord Brahma, Indra, some of the other demigods, it's possibly because, they're in charge. They're in charge. They're kind of like, they're masters. They have a lot of people that, kind of controlling and directing and telling what to do. And possibly it's hard for them to be in that mood of like the humble servant, the servant of the servant of the servant, dasu, dasu, das, anu, das. It's hard for them to maintain, have that very like humble service attitude that, as Prabhupada points out, even devotees who are in the lower planets, who are more readily or easily able to have. So in that, and so anyway, in this way, he's pointing out that the glorious position, the very fortunate position, to have the opportunity to just be, as Narottam Das Thakur says, Chandera Charna Sevi Bhakti Sanivas Janame Janame Hoy E Abhilas, that he's just praying that birth after birth, let me just be in the association of the devotees, engaged in devotional service. I don't want anything other than that. I don't see anything as being a greater benediction than that. Just allow me to be living in the association of the devotees, rendering devotional service. That's what Narottam Das Thakur is praying, and that's sort of like the gist of what it's being indirectly said in this paragraph here, that you can't really get it doesn't get much better than that. If you have that opportunity, you can consider yourself very supremely fortunate. And we should do everything we can to take full advantage of this great, wonderful opportunity and protect it, being careful not to commit offenses like that. And the sky is the limit. Like here in this text, it's Prahlad Maharaj is marveling about how it is that, despite his low birth, as he sees it, he's able to, get the extreme good fortune, the great mercy that Lord Nisringa have actually placed his hand upon his head. Actually that's there, that's possible for all of us. Even to get the mercy to that degree, it's possible. I'll share with you heard Prabhupada say in a lecture, and then I went and found it on the Veda base, and I kind of had printed it out. And it's along these lines of how, and Prabhupada's lectures and letters and the books of Taurus as well are filled with kind of encouraging hints or tips like this, how we can actually be recipients of the, you know, the causeless mercy of the Lord. So here's one such, you know, statement by Prabhupada. Prabhupada's talking about, well, just read, you know, I'll lead up into it. It says, even more dear than such devotee who is dear to Krishna, one who is very, very dear to me, is he who follows this imperishable path of devotional service and who completely engages himself with faith, making me the supreme goal. And then Prabhupada goes, and also, one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, one who is preaching the message of Krishna to the devotees everywhere. Such a person is most highly regarded by Krishna as his best friend and devotee. And then he quotes that famous verse from the 18th chapter, Chatasman Manusheshu Kaschin Me Priyakritama Bhavita Na Cha Me Tasmad Anya Priyataro Bhuvi. There's no servant in the world more dear to me than him, nor will there ever be one more dear. Now here it comes. This is like this now. This, what's coming now is really amazing. Prabhupada goes to say, says, so that will be the supreme perfection of our existence. To come to that point of being best friend, best devotee of Krishna. And Prabhupada goes, and how is that? He says, if we become simply engaged in his preaching work, trying with whatever talent or education or experience or material advantages we have got to spread Krishna consciousness message all over the world, that is best friend of Krishna. That is Krishna's pet dog. And of course the dog gets petted, you know, ahead. So no, but I mean that's really amazing. Just we'll actually kind of spend a little couple minutes on this, because I mean, this is it. This is what we're all wanting, right? Prabhupada's talking about the supreme perfection of our existence. Is there anybody here who's not interested in achieving the supreme perfection of existence? No, of course, we're all interested in it. And Prabhupada's saying what that is. That is, that's becoming the best friend of Krishna, the best devotee of Krishna. And in the very next breath, he says, well, how is that? How? Okay, I've told you. You know, now how do you do it? And that's, here's what he says. You just become engaged in preaching work. And is it that you have to become a, you know, a great scholar to do that? Or, you know, a big, in another place Prabhupada goes, he's talking about referring to preaching, he says, you may be a fool, you may be a rascal, you may be illiterate, but if you do this, referring to preaching, he says, immediately Krishna recognizes. Krishna never said that unless one is a big grammarian, big scientist, big politician, big engineer, big doctor, then I can do it. No, simply one who does this. In other words, you just do it. With whatever he got going for you, you just try to think of a way that I'm going to help spread the Krishna consciousness movement, you know? And you just really, you know, you think about it, and you really try to, and you pray to your spiritual master, and you pray to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and Krishna, please let me, you know, use me in some way. What can I do? What can I do? What do I have? What can I contribute? Because, you know, Prabhupada says, he says, with whatever talent, you know, whatever talent you got, whatever talent, whatever education, whatever experience, material advantage you've got, try to spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. And what's the result? He says that you'll become the best friend of Krishna, Krishna's pet dog. So that's really, you know, wonderful. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I meditate on this. I sometimes, even when I'm chanting or something, I just have it in front of me. I just kind of look down at the page and just look at it. It's like a beautiful meditation, you know. Beautiful meditation that you could meditate on that for the rest of your life, actually. So, let's see if I had anything else to say. I think that's about it. What time is it? That's all. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Such annoying. You're always telling me to stop early. Okay. You have questions? Yes, questions.
Even Prabhupada, the word God consciousness is available to everybody around the whole world, whether they know Krishna consciousness or not. Because we are so close to Krishna with our movement and our participation, could you see the devotees being conducted about Krishna?
Well, you know, that expression, familiarity breeds contempt. So if you always have to be watching your P's and Q's. You have to, you know, like, for instance, yeah, you can. You can become like that. Take, you know, for instance, we're in the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And, you know, but we come every day. So if you're not careful, when you, every time you come in the temple room, you have to pay obeisances. When you come in the temple room, you should be clean, you know. There's certain rules and regulations we have to follow. And if you don't follow those, then you'll develop that attitude of being, you know, you'll become a victim of that what's being described. That's called becoming familiar. When you don't follow the rules and regulations, then you're becoming familiar. And then you're going to lose that proper attitude of awe and reverence and devotion to the deities because of not following the things, you know, the prescribed rules and regulations. So, yeah, we have to guard against that. Actually, I did have another point. I knew I felt like I had a little bit more to say than that, but I just kind of forgot what it was. So, in terms of getting back to this point of preaching, and so why don't we do it? Oh, because we are doing it. I mean, I'm not trying to say everybody here is preaching to greater and lesser degrees. But one thing that kind of like sometimes makes it difficult is preaching is not easy. And you know, sometimes we get discouraged. We feel a little bit discouraged if the results aren't coming. You know, things aren't working out the way we want them to be working out, and we get a little bit discouraged. And that's natural. But we can take inspiration from so many great examples. But particularly, we can take inspiration from the example of Srila Prabhupada, not to become what to do even in the face of feelings of being discouraged. There's one nice letter that Prabhupada wrote to Sudama. I can't remember the year, but the part that talks about this goes like this. Prabhupada says, "When I was alone in your New York, I was thinking, who will listen to me in this horrible, sinful place? All right, I will stay a little longer. At least I can distribute a few of my books. That is something," he said. But Krishna was all along preparing something I could not see. He brought you, young boys and girls, one by one, for preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya. He says, now I could see it as a miracle. He said, otherwise, one old man with a few books to sell to get money, barely enough money to buy edibles, how could he survive? What to speak of spreading a God-conscious movement for the salvation of the whole human race? See? So in other words, that was Prabhupada. He was referring to, I think, when he was in early days in New York. And he was feeling discouraged. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to... But, you know, he's expressing it. He's saying, when I was alone and you're in New York, I was thinking, who will listen to me in this horrible, terrible place? You know, he's just thinking, like, what's the point? You know, you just have to... You think about, analyze what Prabhupada's saying. He's going, like, it's basically just expressing, what's the point of being here? These people are so, like, moted out. Like, oh, God, I prepared for 10 years. I went to Vrindavan. I wrote all the Bhagavatams, and here I am, and these people? But then but the very next breath, he says, but anyway, let me stay a little longer. At least I can distribute a few. So he also felt a little bit like, you know... But he made the choice, he made the decision, I'm going to persevere. Let me persevere with trying to execute this mission, whatever happens. And if I'm not externally successful, oh well, what can I do? I'm not in control. At least I'll have pleased my spiritual master by following through. And he did. And then he goes. And then Prabhupada goes on to describe what happened. He said, but Krishna was all along planning something I could not see. So we should always be thinking like that. That's a very important thing to try to. We should always remind ourselves that, because we're all, you know, facing the same thing as what Prabhupada was expressing there. You know, you're doing your service and you have a certain expectation, and it's not always happening. You know, but we should just remind ourselves, okay, be patient, be determined. Krishna's planning something I can't see. Krishna's all along planning something I can't see. I just have to persevere. You know, just kind of try to keep working sincerely and with determination and enthusiasm. And Krishna's going to make it happen. Krishna's going to make it happen. And it happens. It works like that. You know, I mean, we all have experienced that in a small way. And, you know, in our careers in devotional service. And if we just, you know, you keep at it, you experience it in a bigger and bigger way. Archita Prabhu. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, right. That's true. That's true. Thank you. Such a no.
One important element you mentioned in the flood was that not underestimating the not committing offenses. That can be always, every time, it should be every day, because as Prahlad Maharaj was mentioning in the first, he's in a very humble position, he said, not Indra.
Well, I was just trying to, my simple observation was this, there's a lot of people right here in this room that fully, that, you know, fit this description, that are fully engaged in devotional service, you know, every day, all day. So, you know, we're not the, I'm thinking I'm not the only one. I mean, I might be trying to do that, but I, you know, I just look around here and I see about 50 other people doing the same thing. So they're also very dear to Krishna, and we have to be very careful about how we, you know, relate to each other, because, you know, Krishna, even, you know, might not, if somebody offends you, you might not be upset, but Krishna will be upset because, you know, he doesn't like that. Okay, Dr. Eric. Well, that was in the excerpt from a lecture that I read, yeah. But go ahead. Well, best, especially for, you know, a newer devotee, best thing is just get guidance from the senior devotees. Like, for instance, you have, like, talents and art and like that. So if you wanted to, know how to best utilize your artistic talents, abilities, and inclinations, then, you know, you just have to consult your authority, temple president or whatever. And, you know, you'll get some guidelines how to make use of those talents and abilities and that desire to maybe serve Prabhupada and help spread Krishna consciousness through that medium. You know, that'd be the best way to do it. Just take shelter of your authorities and tell them, hey, I have this desire. I think I have some talents and abilities along these lines. How can I utilize it in Krishna's service? And you'll get some advice. You'll get some guidelines. Simple thing. Yeah, Bali. Well, ideally both. Yeah. It's a cultivation, you know. This is referred to as the process of devotional service. So, you know, there's a constant, you know, cultivation. It's probably easier to have your body be fully engaged than your mind, but we should be working at ideally having both fully engaged in devotional service, and that takes practice. It can take years of practice, you know, so just keep working at it. Just keep working at it. You'll, you know, practice makes perfect, Archie. Yes.
Some services demand inner concentration. It's like, I was trained in Brooklyn when you joined. You probably heard it. Cutting tomatoes, concentrate. Otherwise, you put blood in precious stuff. You don't want to blood in precious stuff. In other words, some services you must concentrate. So you have to force your mind to do it. And that concentration, because sometimes you think, I'll do the service and I'll try to remember this past time, and then it's going to be done. So the concentration on the service,
yeah, the service is not different for Krishna. Mm-hmm. Dr. Anthony? So that'll be the closer because it's 8:15. Thank you much. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.